satellite.
All right. 4 o'clock, let's call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Bruns.
Here.
All right, in front of you, you've had an opportunity. The agenda was set out earlier. Any changes or additions to the agenda? If not, we'll stand as presented. Minutes from the previous meeting were also there. If you had an opportunity to look at those, any changes or additions, subtractions to the minutes? If not, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Going in, since there only appears to be one individual, I'd ask you if you've signed in, so, or if you want to make any comments to address the podium, name and address, that sort of thing. I'm not going to dwell on that. Basically, the way we run these meetings, we entertain any public comments ahead of time, not pertaining to the agenda that we've presented. If there are none, then we will move on to our presentation or our hearings for this afternoon. I'm looking at the room. I would assume there are no public comments, but I'll ask. Okay. Moving on. Hearing. The first one on our agenda is CUP 03-17, Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communications System. Emily.
Okay. So this is a conditional use permit application for the Iowa Statewide, as you said, Interoperable Communications System Tower. The applicant is Joe Coyle, who's here today, from Pyramid Network Services. On behalf of the state of Iowa, their statewide interoperable communication system board and the state of Iowa communications network. So the proposed location of the tower is in Section 8 of Grant Township. And the goal of this entire project is to create a statewide communication system for first responders in the event of a disaster or an emergency. So just a little background on this application. We received the application and took it to the April 5th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. At that meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission remanded the case and asked the applicant to resubmit a revised site plan that met all of the setback requirements. The original location of the proposed tower did not meet the setback requirements from the front property. Then on May 3rd, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the conditional use permit to the Board of Adjustment with conditions, and that's what we're presenting to you today. So the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communication System is a federally mandated project. It's a requirement that allows emergency responders to communicate with each other across districts and jurisdictions. It would allow firefighters from one city to be in communication with firefighters from another city, for example. The proposed tower will this proposed tower will communicate with towers in both Mitchellville and Woodward. This is the search ring area that the applicant provided for us. The city of Ames is here. It's a pretty wide search ring. This spot was ultimately chosen due to the fact that it's state-owned. The state's trying to decrease costs for the system by using state-owned properties. Also because of its easy access location. So, again, this is an application for the construction of a 395-foot tower. It'll be a lattice galvanized steel finished tower. There will be 8-foot fencing surrounding the compound. 12 by 16, and then there will be a 1,000 gallon LP tank and a 50 kilowatt generator. So here we are in Grant Township. We are just east of I-35 here, and on the north side of US 30. The zoning in this area is A1. There's some commercial light industrial on the south side of Highway 30 there, but all the property surrounding this, the proposed location is still A1. This is, area is in the Ames Urban Fringe plant area. That designation is agricultural long-term industrial reserve. This is just south of the area of the area that was recently annexed into the city of Ames, so this is not impacted by that annexation. Those are the overall IDOT site. It's a maintenance site currently. IDOT uses it for storage and maintenance of trucks and other equipment. It's a 19.43 net acre site. The newly proposed location, so this is the revised location for the site, so just keep that in mind. So this meets all of our setback requirements. So that red box there shows an area in which the tower would meet all of our setback requirements for property lines. So as you can see, it's within that area and on the northeast portion of the property. Here's a bit more detailed view. The tower is going to be located over 100 feet away from this existing structure to the southwest there, and in an open area on the property. Here's the proposed site plan. You have the prefab building that will store the equipment on the northwest corner, the generator next to that, the propane tank south of the tower, and then again that there will be an 8-foot fence surrounding that compound area. So this is just some site photos. This is traveling west on Highway 30. There's an existing tower that on the site that is 180 feet tall. The plan for this is that they're going to remove it once the existing equipment is moved out to the other, the new tower. So this will be removed, and the compound will be removed as well. Here's looking north from the frontage road to the IDOT site. The originally proposed location for the tower was directly next to the existing tower. The tower that's there now does meet all of our setback requirements, but because of the height of the new tower, the new tower didn't meet the setback requirements. So we asked to have that moved so that it didn't meet those requirements. Here's the access to the IDOT property from the Highway 30 frontage road. Looking west along the frontage road, there are two large churches to the west of the IDOT property. Looking south, again, you can see this really surrounded by farm fields, and this is looking east on the frontage road. So this is the proposed tower location. We are, again, on the northeast corner of the portion of the property. In a grassy area, so no building will be impacted by the tower. Here's looking north at the proposed tower location. This is about where the tower will be located. Looking east, there are some small trees, and we just asked that those would be replanted near the base of the tower, since those will likely be impacted by the tower. And then looking south from the proposed location, you can see there's a gravel pile, stockpile that they use, buildings to the south. There's quite a bit of screening on the site for the base of the tower. And looking west from the proposed tower location, So conditional use permits have standards of approval, which we'll go through here. The first one is compatibility. Communication towers are permitted in the A1 district as conditional use permits. The closest residence is about a third of a mile to the east of the IDMP property. The property will continue to be used as it is currently, and the 180-foot existing tower is meant to be removed. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan land use framework map is in the existing area as agricultural long-term industrial reserve, and we didn't feel that this communication tower would really impact any future industrial growth, and that's the way that area goes. Setback requirements will be met in all directions with this revised location. In terms of transition, the IDOT site contains buildings to the south and west of the proposed tower site. There are also trees and shrubs on the south and south side of the south line of the property along the frontage road, and then also to the north of the proposed tower site. Again, there are an 8-foot fence surrounding the tower compound. This is just a picture, an image from Highway 30. There's trees buffering along the front there. And there's also trees to the north of the proposed site. In terms of traffic, there will be no new access points created, maintenance vehicles. The traffic will really be limited to the existing traffic that's there, and then also any maintenance vehicles for the tower. We did look at the existing traffic numbers from the IDOT on Highway 30, and this has been increasing, which is one of the reasons we really pushed to have the setback requirement met. Again, there's a lot of traffic from the two churches to the west on that frontage road. Here's just an aerial to get kind of an idea of how many cars could be there at one time. I thought that was pretty nice. So for parking and loading, the construction equipment and materials will all be located on the IDOT site outside of the right-of-way. Signs and lighting, the lighting will be dual red medium intensity lights that will flash during the day and at night. And that's something that's regulated by the FAA. And it's actually, as we learned from a member of the public at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting a couple weeks ago, the red flashing lights are ideal for migratory birds. So they're the least harmful. We have requested lighting specifications, which must meet both the county and FAA requirements prior to the issuance of the preliminary zoning permit. So that's a condition. And then there's no additional signage planned for the property. In terms of environmental protection, the footprint of the concrete base will be about 5,500 square feet. Erosion control must follow Story County guidelines. We did receive an updated site plan which has a statement on it regarding incorporating Iowa Stormwater Management Manual best practices as well as erosion control meeting or exceeding the student's requirements. Signed by the engineer. So, in terms of analysis, if the Board of Adjustment concludes that all the above development criteria are met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability the development will, and the first one is not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working at an adjoining or surrounding property. We feel that the revised site plan really takes away our concern about safety to members of the public traveling on both Highway 30 and the frontage road, and then the adjacent properties due to this new location really diminishes our concerns regarding the health, safety, and general welfare. The second item is impair an adequate supply, including quality of light and air to surrounding properties. We don't anticipate much impact, little to no impact on the supply of light and air to surrounding properties. Given the closest dwelling is about a 31 mile to the west. I'm sorry, that's the east of the Urquhart. I'm sorry about that. The third one is unduly increased congestion on roads or the hazard from fire flood or similar dangers following the construction of the proposed tower. The traffic will be limited to maintenance vehicles and really should be minimal. The fourth one is diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property. The county assessor's office didn't raise any concerns about the property values of surrounding properties, and we don't anticipate any negative impacts on the property values either. And the last thing, five, not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations or county cornerstone, capstone, or CGC plan. The agricultural long-term industrial reserve designation supports long-term planning objective of accommodating future demand for industrial growth. We don't see that the location of this tower would impact the agricultural area as is. It won't take any land out of crop production. Also, we don't anticipate it will inhibit any future industrial growth in that area. We did also want to point out that the towers like this are very typical in an area that's growing and changing, like that intersection of Highway 30 and I-35. So there are supplemental standards for communication towers. First one's co-location. We looked at the search area range for this tower, and none of the nearby towers met the height requirement, which is one of the reasons the state is having to build quite a few towers. The separation from planned and or existing residential properties, again, this meets the specific requirements. The setback requirements for residential properties is over 900 feet to the east of the tower site. Currently, there are no residential developments planned for this area and will continue to be in agricultural use. The height, we did receive a letter from a Motorola engineer stating that the proposed height is the minimum necessary to meet the functionality of the tower network. The required setbacks are all met by the newly proposed tower location. There are no guide wires for this tower, and the equipment building will also meet the required setbacks in the new location. In terms of fencing or screening, again, per our requirements, there will be an 8-foot tall mesh fence around the compound, anti-climbing devices. We felt the IDOT site had a sufficient amount of buildings and trees along on the property to sufficiently screen the base of the tower. In terms of aesthetics, the tower design will be galvanized steel. Again, the dual medium intensity red flashing lights will be both day and night. And the applicant has a proposed any additional signage. One of our requirements in the originally proposed location, the tower, the applicant did present us with a FAA determination of no hazard to air navigation. With the relocation or the new proposed location, they had to resubmit that, and that takes about 30 days. So we will require that prior to issuing the preliminary zoning permit. In terms of obstruction of view, this tower will be visible from Highway 30, obviously, Interstate 35, Lincoln Highway, surrounding areas, but these are not designated view corridors, and no, the view when entering or exiting the IOG site is not, view will not be impacted. We also feel that the visual impact of the tower, especially along Highway 30, will be much less than the newly proposed location. So it's a middle requirement, the applicant provide all applicable information as required. Comments from the interagency review team, and environmental health just wanted to comment that the lateral should be cordoned off to keep the traffic, the construction traffic, I'm sorry, off of the laterals. We asked several questions throughout this review process, and Joe provided the answers for us. We asked this general question about the lighting, the timeline of the tower, and then just some security questions. We sent out public notification letters for our April 5th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. We did receive a question from the Chamber of Commerce about if this would impact the East Industrial Annexation Area that I talked about earlier, and again, outside of this area, and we don't anticipate any impacts. At the April 5th meeting, a member of the public did speak on issues like on issues such as falling ice and snow in locations. It was very near to the parking lot, and he had concerns about ice and snow falling from the tower onto cars and visitors to the site. So we've sent another round of letters for the May 3rd Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. And at that meeting, we did get a public comment regarding the lights. Just a clarification on what the lights would be in terms of safety to birds. So additional comments. I guess what I would highlight here is that the Iowa Department of Transportation Assistant District Engineer said that there's no concerns related to the Highway 30 corridor study area that has been worked on for a number of years now and has continued to move forward. And it appears that the reconfiguration of accesses will be to the east of the proposed tower site.
Nothing definite.
So just points to consider for the conditional use permit. The applicant has submitted a revised plan that meets all setback requirements of Story County. Communication towers are permitted as a conditional use in the A1 district. The Amesburg Fringe Plan Land Use Framework map identifies this area as agricultural long-term industrial reserve. We don't feel that this will impact any future growth. And no area will be taken out of crop production. The existing buildings and plantings on the IPOT site will provide sufficient barrier between adjacent properties and the public right-of-way. Access to the tower will be through the existing IPOT access point. No, there will not be any new access points added for the tower maintenance vehicles. All tower construction equipment will be outside of the right-of-way on the IPOT property. Signs, lighting, and environmental protection measures will meet Story County Land Development Regulations and FAA requirements. And the existing tower and equipment building will be removed when the new tower is in place and the existing equipment has been transferred to the new tower. So the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation to the Board of Adjustment was to approve conditional use permit 0317 with the following conditions. The first one is a signed surveyed site plan drawing, and that has been met. We've received that, so that condition has been met. The second item was the submitting the following to planning and development prior to the issuance of the preliminary development permit, and that includes the FAA determination of no hazard letter and the light specifications that meet both the county and the FAA requirements. We did receive a statement on the signed surveyed site plan that the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual best practices will be followed, and the Iowa Stateway Urban Design Specification or SUDIS guidelines will also be met or exceeded. So it's our recommendation that the Board of Adjustment approves conditional use application 0317 with the following condition. I guess I would make a modification to this that we remove number 3 from that condition. So the alternatives for the Board of Adjustment are to approve as submitted, approve with suggested conditions or other conditions as we find necessary. Number 3 is to deny the conditional use permit application, and number 4 is to remand it back to a
meeting
at a future date. So with that, I will ask if you have any questions for me.
Thank you. Any questions, Board? Pretty thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Very thorough. Okay. Any comments? Additions? Sure. Do you wish to add?
I'll be very brief and just ask for your approval to follow the staff's recommendation, follow the Planning Commission's recommendation to approve this tower, which is vital to public health and safety of Iowans across the state. And I want to put on the record a big thanks to staff for being helpful and responsive throughout the entire process.
All right, thank you. Could you just state your name again and address
so we got
it for the record?
Sure, it's Joe Coyle, 444 East 74th Terrace, and that's in Kansas City, Missouri.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Anything else to add?
Not. I'll entertain a motion.
I move that the Surrey County Board of Adjustment approve the conditional use permit for the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communication System Tower as put forth in case CUP 0317 with the two conditions that were presented.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. We have a roll call, please.
McGill.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Bruns.
Aye.
There you go. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for coming out. Appreciate the time.
Any other business to come before our group?
I would just like to, it's an off the record kind of thing. It said that tower connects with the southeast and southwest. How come not north anywhere?
If
you look at that map on the slide, and you can kind of see there's 84 tower sites all throughout the state. And
so it's for a specific connection only, it's not for a general area?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that tower will serve the greater Ames area.
Okay.
But it's a link between just those two other towers.
Okay.
And those two other towers, of course, link.
Right.
So they eventually have 95% of the population covered by the system,
okay,
the way they have everything laid out.
Right.
But a lot has, with the site selection has to do with state-owned properties.
Right.
Those are all state-owned properties.
Right.
So they're either IDOT, Department of Corrections, DNR. And so that's why maybe it looks a little,
yeah,
you know, sort of just a grid. You know?
Right, right.
So,
okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments you can make on our legal situation?
Yeah, before that, I just wanted to tell you that the Board of Supervisors approved our budget request for a plan intern for the summer, which we're very, very happy about. Haley Weber is who we hired. She's an Iowa State undergrad student in planning, doing regional planning. We intended for her to come up today to meet you, but she became ill, and so we'll have her come up at the next Board of Adjustment meeting. But she's going to be helping us with case development, work, ordinance amendments, zoning map needs to be updated, and helping with the work program. So we're going to put her to work. So, with regard to the YSS appeal that we received, I can't tell you a lot other than through the insurance pool that Story County is a member of. They hired two attorneys through that work at Hopkins and Huebner in Des Moines. They're working on this case, and they've instructed me to tell you that if you have any questions about the appeal, any of the work that they're doing or working on or anything about the process, that they are more than willing to come here and talk to the board. That would need to be something that would be in closed session. We would have to have that on the agenda. So that's basically the only thing that I can tell you. So if you'd like them to come, we can invite them to do that. And like I said, we just have to make sure that we do that in closed session. So just like that to happen, contact me.
Okay. Questions? Any comment? Would the board like to have that happen? Obviously.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
I think it would be a good idea.
I agree.
Okay.
So
we'll make it happen.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's all that I have.
Anything else this afternoon? Now I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.